Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. It is the Red Men Originals podcast. For those of you who are regular viewers and listeners to the podcast, not a huge difference in terms of content, more in terms of setting and the fact that we have added an extra person into the mix. This week, joining me, Chris Pajak and Steve Hall, is Chloe Bloxham. Chloe, welcome to the podcast.
Nice one, thank you.
Good.
You're happy? Pretty sure I've been on the actual podcast before, but it's all different now.
Yeah.
This is the originals, and we're including you as an original. That's like a big honour.
Yeah.
I know.
I was very enamoured with Steve's quiz of the year and calling me and Chris the originals, which is true, but I realised that, you know, if you're a member of the Red Men team, you're, you know, in-house, then you're the originals. So yeah, moving forward, we're back on the couches.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's much more comfortable. Well, I say that it's not, because we've not really thought through all the technical kinks of this yet. So I've got a plugged in iPad precariously balanced on my lap, and these microphones are slightly awkward. But
just print out your agenda like we used to.
Yeah, genuinely, that was the thing that hasn't. I haven't had to think about since the couches was, we used to kill a lot of trees on the channel. That's one thing that the desks took away from us.
To be fair, this could all be solved by charging the iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Couldn't it?
And also, production. You know.
Sorry.
Yeah. Cody Poole 86, one of our club legends, says, if you could choose one player that has played within your lifetime to share a birthday party with, who would it be?
I want to spend my birthday with Ronaldinho, thank you.
I think that might be a winning shout. I'll give Chris the extra time to call.
Okay, I've got one.
Okay, Chloe.
Messi, just because it's the only chance I'd ever meet him, and I'd absolutely love to meet Lionel Messi.
I'd have little Messi on my shoulders.
Yes, exactly.
One of the kids.
yeah, definitely.
He's also got loads of money, so it's going to be a boss party, isn't it? Let's be honest.
He should get you a good gift, shouldn't he?
Yeah, and he can also bring other, you know, massive famous people around who I can meet as well. So yeah. If we could do the party in and around the time he'd won something as well,
might bring the World Cup with him.
Exactly. I'd just have another party for
definitely,
that, a year on.
There's a good chance
he'd
definitely.
Yeah.
No one's taking probably that off him, are they? Yeah. Only Saltbank.
I'll bring it in next week. I'll bring it in on the next international break, I promise. Oh, no. It's by the front door. Yeah. Chris?
Maradona. You know that's going to be a good party.
I thought you were going to say him, but I didn't see him play, so that's why I didn't say him.
Yeah, you didn't, did you? No, fair enough. Maradona. For all the reasons that everybody's thinking.
The combination of what you've just of these two is his answer is Diego Maradona, really, isn't it? Yeah, you're getting all the partiness and then all the celebrity.
94 Maradona,
and you're still bringing Saltbank as well.
An Argentinian World Cup winning legend who loves the party.
He's like a
Argentine, the Venn diagram of our answers.
Yeah, Argentine star fuck groomer. He's out there now looking for the new Messi right now, because Messi was the new Maradona. So there's like some 12-year-old lad playing for Newell's Old Boys or whatever right now, and Saltbay's like watching from afar, thinking like, how am I getting in on the next big Argentine party?
No.
I would like to think he
is. I don't think he is.
He is, though.
Okay. Well, you asked. I said no.
Yeah, I don't know anyone on that arse, but I did like the idea of like the celebrity people. And I did think if you had it with like Jed Piqué, then Shakira's coming to your birthday party.
Well, yeah, not no more.
Oh, really?
He cheated on it. Oh, wow. Imagine cheating on Shakira, by the way. Are you having me on?
Yeah.
Yeah, hips don't lie, but he did.
Hey. No.
There's a dad joke for you.
There you go, Stella. What I did think was interesting, what I wanted to find out was...
That might be the end of the podcast.
We'll go to a break.
Three persons next week so, in there.
What I wanted to find out was, and we'll, by the way, we are going to be talking Liverpool stuff more directly in a moment, if you're new to the podcast, by the way. I wanted to see which Liverpool players we share birthdays with. So I found out that I shared a birthday with Billy Liddle, Graham Lloyd, Billy Molyneux, John Welsh, and the man who Chris Pajak could have been, Zach Whitbread.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, related to you.
No.
Could have been
him. My mum was married to his dad.
There you go. How the world works.
In a different ways.
Yeah. I found out a lot about your mum's past life at the party at the Friday.
Maybe we'll talk about that over there, mate.
Maybe we'll talk about that on extra.
Start over there.
Oh, visual gags. There's a digital birthday cake. Well done.
Well done. That's really... You're going to blow your candles out?
No.
It does work. We've tried it.
Does it?
Yeah.
There's no way it works.
There's zero chance that it works. See, yeah, thanks. That was good. It was.
And if I was a year younger,
yeah,
maybe
he's wiser at 40.
Chris Pajak, do you know who you share your birthday with?
No,
Charlie Adam.
Yeah, not surprising.
Matthew Fitzsimmons and Alex Muir.
Yeah, me and Charlie Adam have got the same hairline.
Steve, what's your birthday? It's December, right?
Yeah, 18.
December 18.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's got my birthday. I know they play for Liverpool, but
former Liverpool goalkeeper Paul Harrison.
Okay,
I think he's mate of Steve.
Is that King. It?
That's
that
it.
Is literally it. And Chloe,
19th of May.
No, Christ.
That's a Paul Harris. I don't even know who that is.
You do not share a birthday with any.
I'm just that
Liverpool
special, you know what I mean?
Past or present.
One of my own, then.
But Jamie Carragher did play his final Liverpool game for Liverpool on your birthday in 2013.
My birthday is Sam because, like, if Liverpool are boss, you'd either. I mean, the year I was born, we won the treble. So if I
I'm so
would have been...
This was in my prime. We were in our prime, Chris.
Oh, no.
I put a photo out from around then on Twitter before and we were definitely in our prime.
Oh, yes. I saw that. I respected it. But usually...
Which one is it?
It's the hair.
The wrong hair one? Yeah. Oh, the one we're singing? Yeah. Great.
But usually we've, like,
it's all right.
Won
it
something or are winning something. So
I got a welcome on my birthday this year. Oh, well, last year, you know. That was something you'd have got a heavy bet on when I was born. Yeah, a World Cup final on in December 18th. That was just like...
Right, let's move things on. Let's talk Liverpool. And look, ultimately, exactly. I'd rather talk about famous birthdays than talk about Liverpool, Jordan with Wolves in the FA Cup.
But
here we are. Life's a shit house. Let's carry on. Steve, hi. We'll do the negatives because that's what everyone's kind of feeling and talking about and all that kind of stuff. Just pour us again. We had moments in that game when I really enjoyed some of the football we were playing. I actually quite enjoyed large portions of the football game. But then we're finding the same way to concede goals, and that's in transition, getting turned around, people scoring against us. But also we're adding loads and loads of random weird goals conceded again, which is very like 2016, 2017, time to time we were very like that. It's just overall, it's just quite concerning because it's hard to put your finger on it because we had good players on the pitch there. We put a good team out. They had a weakened team. They've had a week off since the last game. There's no reason. And they have on the back of the mid-season break, and, you know, all this tactical work they're supposed to do. And it's just, yeah, it's annoying and a bit sad more than anything else.
Yeah, it makes me think about, it's like, you know, the mentality monsters thing. They're not goals, that mentality monster. Like, it feels like they switch off at the more like concentration goes. Like that from Alisson is just like he's good for the one of them a season, and hopefully that's him getting that out of the way. But like, yeah, we just feel like we switch off in stupid moments. I actually thought, and this might sound crazy, but like I know everyone's saying we were dead porous, but I thought just about we got the last tackle in, or we got the last block in, or like the centre halves dealt with it where they had to. There was the chance that was where Alton Ori was kind of one-on-one, and Alisson had hit it straight at him. But other than that, it felt like we were just about... We weren't great in midfield, and they were getting through us, which is a problem. But like the barrier, the flood barriers were just about holding up. But eventually, if you just keep putting pressure on those flood barriers, even like the little leak gets through, and that one, listen, they scored a very fortunate goal on the flip side, we get away with a very fortunate decision. But it just felt like it's one of those where if you keep giving them chances, at some point, a bounce of a ball is going to go against you, yeah, or a defender's going to be slightly out of position, and that's what it was.
We felt a bit like, at times, Chloe, like, I don't know if you had people in your school who were like this, who were dead good at keepy-ups, but not very good at football. You know, like, very good at the skills, but not very good at actually being in a match. And, like, we had this one lad, he was surprisingly good at keepy-ups, but you just go and throw a shoulder in on him, and he couldn't fathom how, well, I can do 100 keepy-ups, what are you doing shoulder bars? And it's like, it's football. And it felt a little bit like that. We were having spells in the game where we were ramping up the pressure. There's one move, we play loads of really great give and goes, we get it into the box, and it's like, it's scintillating stuff, but at any point, it just feels like someone's going to go, well, that's great, well done, lads. You know, sarcastic one-handed clap of applause for all that great football you've done. We're just going to run through the middle of your team really fast. And that's the thing that's, yeah, most frustrating about watching Liverpool this season.
Yeah, we've got players who've won pretty much everything that they can possibly win. And yet, when it comes to confidence and when it comes to staring at the player in the eyes that you're up against, every team that comes up against us just fancies themselves, and why wouldn't they in this moment? They bully us, the first to every ball. I don't know whether it's mentally, physically. I mean, those players shouldn't be shattered. Yeah, you had a month's break. I'm not bothered if you were in Qatar. Half of you didn't even play. Yeah. And I'm at a point now where I just think Jürgen needs to absolutely fume at some of them, because it's one thing doing the nice tricks and, you know, looking fancy and doing step overs, but Thiago, why are you doing a step over 2 yards outside your own penalty box? Not the time or the place. You don't need to do that there. And I think we need to go back to basics. We need to make ourselves hard to beat, which is something I'd say about Everton Football Club, and yet I'm saying it about Liverpool Football Club at the moment. Yeah. We need to make sure that, first and foremost, we're not going to get bullied, and they're going to have to be perfect every inch of the game to get something out of us. Where now we're just gifting away goals, you know, for fun. And it's, you know, I'm ready for another international break if that can ollie off.
Yeah, Egan said, didn't he? Like, it was the first time he's really done this in a we lost our challenges, which is, I think it's the most Jürgen Klopp way of going, you gang of fucking shit houses. You can't say that, but it's like, we've got no chance if we lose every tackle and lose it. Like, Fabinho seems to have forgot how to tackle. There was a time at the end of the game, I know Matthijs Nunes is the hot topic, and I think we'd all agree Liverpool need sound players, but the flip side is the players who are on the pitch are better than what they're showing. And, like, he dropped one shoulder on Thiago and they were at us, and that can't happen. Like, someone's got to be like, kick someone, like, or they put a foot in and do things, and that's it. There's a combination of a lot. I think Jürgen as well, to move on a little bit, I don't know, like, we seem to be set up in a way that we can't do at the moment, and it feels like either the players change or the tactics or the system change, and at the moment nothing's really changing.
This is the point, is that we don't have the players to play a Jürgen Klopp system anymore. We just do not have the midfield legs to be able to play that system. And I would hazard a guess that Fabinho is not done. I would hazard a guess that he can't perform at the level because his midfielders around him can't perform at their level.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe that now, you know, after the last few weeks, is that Fabinho's form isn't that bad, but he can't do everything on his own, and it's making him look stupid because he's the DM. And the DM is supposed to stop everything in front of him, but that doesn't work.
So without what M, sorry?
The DM.
The DM
is supposed to stop everything in front of them, and without the other midfielders, you're not going to be able to do that. The striker's press is terrible because the midfield press is terrible.
Yeah.
Right? And then the defence doesn't have a fucking clue what is going on in front of them. So Steve's absolutely spot on. You change the high line, you change the way that Liverpool press, and you sit deep, or you continue to do this, and you continue to have these maybe two wins, two losses type of performances, because right now there is absolutely no consistency. And add that into a Darwin Nunes that doesn't quite play in the same way that a Bobby Firmino did a few years ago, which is fine. I'm all for that. That's not a problem. There's an adjustment period with a completely different styled striker. You've got a Mo Salah who probably doesn't know what's going on with his forward partners in the same way that he did a year ago, 2 years ago. And you've got a new lad in Cody Gakpo now who you're trying to integrate into the side as well. You've got two midfielders in Carvalho and Harvey Elliott that don't look like they're the right fit for midfield in our system at any point over the last 5 years. They are not the type of midfielders that Liverpool have needed to make that 4-3-3 system fine. So you've actually got a completely, I think, the makeup of your squad is poor for what you want to do. It makes no fucking sense to me how we've got Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Because it was fine last year.
Well, but the legs were there last year, sure, and that's the difference.
He played 60-odd games last year, the legs might not be there.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's what it comes down to. So the makeup of the squad is completely different to last season because Jordan Henderson can't do the eight in the same way. Thiago isn't an eight in the same way that we've seen in that system for prior to him coming in there. Fabinho looks all at sea because the legs aren't around him, and you've got the fullbacks playing slightly different roles. So Trent Alexander-Arnold, apart from he gets the assist in this game and, you know, recently as well, he's nowhere near as high up the pitch because we don't have the players to cover him, which means we're not scoring, we're not creating as many opportunities. You've got Andy Robertson playing a slightly different role, a bit more advanced, because he does have the legs to get up and down in the way that Trent doesn't. And you've got two centre-halves playing without Virgil van Dijk, who, you know, to be fair to them, both good players, but Konate is inexperienced and inconsistent because of that inexperience. He'll become brilliant, I have no doubt, but you add all of those little bits and pieces up and you're a shit show.
I think as well, I thought the sign of Thiago and the transition of Harvey Elliott becoming a midfielder, which we saw at the beginning of the last season, that was Jürgen tipping his hand that we're changing, we're not going to make ourselves so open because it's physically impossible to ask these lads to go again. We've lost Gini Wijnaldum, and Hendo's getting on, and Milner's getting on, so we're changing. And yet I watched the game the other day, and like I say, one lad dropped one shoulder against us, and the entire midfield had gone. Everyone was up the pitch, so we haven't changed. So it's like Jürgen's got a new set of toys, but he's playing with them the same, in the old-fashioned way, like what he wants to do. And I believe something has to change. Like, you'd either change the players, which again, I think every single person who supports Liverpool goes, do you need to sign midfielder? One, probably need five. But the flip side is, Paul, like, I don't think at the moment the team can win, as it is right this second, with how Jürgen wants them to try and win. When you get Diaz back, and when you get Jota back, and when you got Bobby back, you might have half a chance, because what you can say to your forwards is, sprint your nuts off for an hour and we can change your three years. Yeah. We at the moment, what we're trying to do with the tools we've got doesn't work. We're trying to knock a nail in with a spanner. You know what I mean? It makes no sense.
There's the tipping of the balance point, and I always refer to like the season after 2008-2009 when we finished second, and we get Glenn Johnson in for Alvaro Arbeloa, and Aquilani comes in for Xabi Alonso, because the notion was we got pipped to the title, we just need to be more attacking. Rafa's too pragmatic, he needs more attacking players, and when you go down that route, you actually upset the apple cart, and you undo what you've done. And it's been a subtle thing for us because Thiago, every week there's got to be a hot take on it, and this is my pseudo one at the moment, is the Thiago thing, is that he passes all the tests because you prepare when you're watching him play football, and he does all the slide tackles, but it's when you combine him in a midfield with, let's say, Harvey Elliott as an example. I go back to, I think we played Genk away, and it was Fabinho, Keita and Ox in the midfield, and Fabinho just looked fucking ruined by the end of that game because he'd effectively had to do the entire midfield job on his own, and it was like ha ha ha, well we got away with it because it was, you know, it was a lesser opposition, and I might be getting that slightly wrong, but there was certainly a game like that. That's like how our midfield functions every week, is because we've got slightly less robust, slightly smaller but better technically gifted footballers in the team, all trying to be the guy to win the match for us. And again, we didn't have Elliot in, we had Jordan Henderson in, who is will never lack for work rate, he'll never lack for the endeavour. But I think we are starting to see the edges of what he's capable of doing. He had a good World Cup, but he's not been having a good season. He didn't have a good first half of last season either. It was only when we started to rotate him with Fabinho that we actually started to get a better tune out of him. Actually, Fabinho's form dipped a little bit in there. So I kind of agree. We're struggling with a little bit where, on paper, I look at that team and but why isn't that team winning more? But we've always been. We've had great players and also been better than the sum of our parts, which, to be a truly elite team, you've got to be both. And I feel like we've got really good footballers, but we're not, as a collective, the whole thing isn't working at the moment.
And it's funny, Paul, because like we have
not for a lack of endeavour, by the way. I think Trent's level's gone up since he's come back from the World Cup. Fabinho's not brilliant, but actually look at how much of an extra, more of a shift he's putting in. He's getting himself back in. I think people are working hard. They're running, you know, again, they're getting bodies behind the ball when it does break down, or they're trying the best to. You're getting the people who I was concerned about at the start of the season seem to be pulling the shift. So it says to me that this is happening actually somewhere between the centre circle and probably the edge of their penalty area where it's going wrong for us, whereas it looks like it's the other end.
And I don't, you go the game in the home games, when I'm obviously more than the studio, so you guys probably see this more than me, but I get the sense that we'd all agree Liverpool's most creative footballer is Trent, which you're probably there or thereabouts. Yeah. We've had to take Trent away from up there because he wasn't getting back. And at the start of the season, he was drifting into midfield and he was creating, and especially last season, his assist numbers were brilliant. But everyone was going, but we're getting done at the back post. And it happened this season, and he wasn't getting back. Napoli away was a shambles, for example. So now Trent's deeper. So now I wonder if the midfielders are thinking, well, we've got to, he's over there. One of us have got to go on. And then there you go on. And before you know it, you've got 6 men ahead of the ball. It just feels like, I'll probably ask you this one, Club, because you sit in the cop, don't you? You get the angle of it. It just feels like not everything is just a little bit like all over the shop. And we'd agree, it all starts because we haven't got the Genie Wijnaldum type legs in midfield or Henderson of 5 years ago. If Trent goes, right, my job is to bust the bollock to get over there. And Trent knows they can't, so, and Jürgen knows they can't, so he's now back. And before you know it, Paul's right, you've got Thiago and Harvey Elliott doing all this bit, but then Fabinho's going, what's going on here? It just feels like everyone's heads a bit kept with all of this, potentially the managers as well.
But the other thing is that Jürgen is, he mentioned himself the other day, they're very good at making footballers better footballers. And nobody, when we brought James Milner in from Man City, thought that this was the career James Milner would have. You know, that we'd be going, this winger that we bought from Manchester City. And I know no one thought he was going to be a flying, you know, 15 assist a season winger or whatever. But James Milner's tiny, but he's dead robust and he's dead committed. And they've made this, like, boring midfielder out of him. They did the same. Gini Wijnaldum was a winger for Newcastle, 10 for Holland. We made him. We're talking about these, like, oh, it's all this combative Genie Wijnaldum. Nobody watched him at PSV said that was what his career was going to turn into, which, again, is just to play devil's advocate. It might be they're thinking on this, but right now it looks miles off it.
It looks like a group of players who've never played with each other, to be perfectly honest. It looks like no one knows where each other's going to be on the pitch. I mean, the whole point about Trent is you need him to be further up the pitch then to solve it. You either have to move him, or what you do is you get a player in who is Henderson 5 years ago, who has the legs and can get behind them. Because even last season, you saw the problems. I think it was Fulham this season as well at the very beginning. And when Trent got loads of stick, it was also people were like, well, yeah, but Henderson's not doing the same thing. He's not covering as much as he did last year. And it's a case of we're going to have to find solutions, and we don't have time to sit here and, you know, say, yeah, but don't worry, we'll find those solutions next summer. Because the point is, by next summer, you could be not in the Champions League, which lowers your attraction for other players. The money side of it as well, you need more money to spend. And also, you're Liverpool Football Club, you were challenging Manchester City, you were going for the quad last year, you're telling me this year you're not even going to be in top four. And also, I don't like having a go at the players, but I am. Just be a bit nastier. Take someone out. If you can see that there's no one back, yeah, just take a yellow. Just wipe someone out. If in the first 5 minutes, nail someone. Put something on someone so they think, oh, I don't want to go up against him
there's
again.
There's a reason why Jordan Henderson is still at the football club. And because he's a really good footballer, by the way. But him and Milner, and you keep Milner around, versatility, all those kind of things. I don't think anyone else has stepped up in that group to the plate of what they actually brought on the pitch. Well, in terms of leadership,
I would say the other day when we saw him absolutely grip the players is so, exactly who you want to, yeah, see. But
he had the captain's armband on a couple of times recently, yeah, hasn't he, as well, which, yeah, I think is fully deserved.
And that's what you absolutely need. You know, it should be a passion of the torch type of a era at the moment where you need somebody else to step up into that, and Hendo becomes your Milner, you know, from what Milner was to Jordan Henderson and stuff. But I think part of the problem that we've not discussed today, I think it's very easy to focus on the defensive side of things. But when your attack isn't as good as playing the ball around and keeping the ball, it actually becomes a lot harder to defend. So what I mean by that is, I think one of the problems we've got now is we're very static when we have the ball. When we go long and over the top to Nunes, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we build up slowly and transition to the attacking third. We are not very good at keeping the ball and keeping the opposition penned in anymore, which was what we were probably best at, which is why we'd win that ball high up the pitch and stuff.
Give your defenders a break.
But the movements from the players isn't there. Like, yeah. when we had Mane and when we had Bobby Firmino in, on form, there's movement, you create space, you create opportunities. All I see now really is, generally speaking, Harvey Elliott might go out to the right-hand side and Mo Salah might go out to the right-hand side and Mo sees nothing on and goes for a run at three players and we lose the ball in the box. And then all of a sudden, like, the ball's not going in behind Trent. It's not done that all season because we've moved this position. It's going through the centre of the park. And it's almost like there's a run from one of the lads in midfield that never gets covered.
Look at introduction and Naby Keita.
It was great for five.
Well, fair, yeah. But he's everything we're not doing. And this is the annoying thing about him. Our best midfield, we finally evolved. We talked about that Man City FA Cup semi-final. That was like Klopp, what to call it, 2.0, 3.0, whatever, where you've got Canate in at the back and you've got Keita's in the midfield and Diaz is now in the team as well. And you can start to see what they're moving towards. And that's where Elliott makes sense to me, because the idea is meant to be, we come up against the vast majority of games in the Premier League, the teams are going to put flat back five or two banks of four or whatever, and they defend for their lives. So you're just left with this thing where you've got 70% possession and you're knocking it side to side looking for opportunities. And in those games, you need more from those guys playing centrally. You need bravery. You need people who carry the ball, upset the opposition, really make them think about what they're supposed to be doing. And again, this is where we've kind of fallen down, is that we've got to be careful. It's funny, Klopp referencing the whole throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I still think this is probably a move to address that. But at the moment, we stink at the balance. We stink at the balancing act of what happens when you get those passes wrong and you're fucked and going the other way. We had the other day, Fabinho was trying to be the extra man, moving into the attack. Well, he's your DM. You've left the back door completely open.
I'd rather Matt have carried the ball.
And it was better for Matt have coming on.
The point, though, is that we're getting concerned that we can't break the side down, and so we throw bodies at the situation rather than being smarter. Throwing bodies at the situation just leaves you shorter at the back, and that's the balance. Now, when you're not good at attacking, which I don't think we've been this season in terms of our slow build-up play, it just leaves everything else open.
I think Darwin's the issue with that, because like there's a couple of times when he doesn't want the ball to feet.
Mate, I think, to be honest, I think the movement's not good from all three of them when you're in those areas. I think it's a bit easy for him to sit in the middle and go, I'm a tall lad. At some point, someone's going to cross this ball into me. Not really had anything like that.
I don't think I think it's kind of the other way. I don't think he wants to be central.
Fine as well. But you've got to do something. You've got to create space. You've got to move your markers, and you've got to have a runner in behind, and that's where Keita comes in.
And I do wonder why this is what maybe Gakpo. I mean, yes, it's because we need another body to play an attack for the next couple of months. Otherwise, we are sunk. But I do wonder whether this is a little bit of a redress in the balance, a bit of maybe they've seen something in Nunes. It's a bit like, actually, we need to facilitate him being able to move out left a bit more and then not totally lose it going through the middle. I don't know, but we're worse when he's centre forward. It was Divock Origi problem. I've seen people go, Divock Origi was better than Darwin Nunes, which is horseshit, by the way. Absolute horseshit. We never played well when Divock Origi played centre forward for us. He could score important goals for us, but systemically, he actually fitted better, even though he still wasn't great when he played wide, because he would just perform the role. He was tall, so he could go long to him. He was prepared to go outside and inside with it, and he could cut inside and score periodically for us. He fit the system better from that position. He never fitted centrally, and that's forever our problem. We said this for years, go and get a goal scorer. Well, this is what happens when you go and get a number nine.
If we didn't go number nine, that's the point. They haven't got a number nine.
No, but what I mean is, he played number nine against Wolves. And again, maybe that's another reason why we're doubling down on having more guys to play from the left, is that we either don't want him there, or Gakpo's going to end up as the forward, I don't know. But we're losing stuff. You can't replace Roberto Firmino, because the guy's a one-off, he's a genius. And it means that, again, there's just something's off in every single department, and cumulatively it's adding up.
Got a good comment here, actually. I found it again. Adam Shaw, it was basically
instant match reaction after the game the other week, whichever one it was. And we did a big chat about how it was like when something goes wrong with your car, but your car's still running. And you push on because you can't really afford to like get that thing fixed. So you wait until it breaks down before you end up getting it fixed. Smart people get the smallest of things. They replace the tyres every year. Wankers, we call them. Most of us just live with like engine lights on because you do.
Mine's a particle filter issue at the moment. It's been going on for a year.
Yeah. But there is a comment here that
from
absolutely...
the left phalange.
Yeah. I've lost it again. It's about basically the MO. It's about like basically the MOT. Oh, that's it. Adam Shaw says FSG keep managing to pass an MOT on the midfield.
Now it's breaking down. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, they have that. It's the perfect analogy for it. And again, something we've said. But they've looked at it in the summer clearly and gone, well, we can't do what we want to do. What we want is a new car. But in reality, what we're going to do, we're going to spend all this money to, like, that's like, you could go and get all the things fixed on your car. You're not going to sell it anyway. What's the point of, it's like, what's the point of investing in all the little bits and pieces when ultimately you're going to get rid of the whole thing, maybe? But I don't know.
To be fair, though, I disagree because they did try. What they've done, they tried to buy Shaw Many, couldn't get him, realised Jude Bellingham, they couldn't get him. And they've gone, okay, that'll do us. Yeah. We're fine. And it was like, you know what? If you can't buy the absolute brilliant one, maybe there's, because they need three. And three of them are going to go this summer, so we're already short. There you go. And Jürgen at that press conference, when he listed them all out, it was like, we've got Fabinho and Thiago and Hendo and Milner and Elliot. And then you were like, old, young, always injured, injured, young. And I was like, ugh. And okay, all right, then, so is that what we're doing this? And we're going to try and fly. And then in the end, he goes, I was wrong, we needed a midfielder. They left it too late, they won't go and get a lad who hasn't played for yet, and lo and behold, his muscle rips because, God, we already hasn't played footy for a year and we've just asked him to play. It all went badly wrong, and this comes down to, and I might be changing the topic too much here, I do apologise, but like, we're trying to play the FSG way of winning, which won loads and loads and loads of times, and we won all the trophies, but the rules of the game have changed because FFP failed and there's no Super League and stuff. So now what we're saying is we're going to try and go the old sell-to-buy route, or we're going to invest in youth and bring them through and stuff, and everyone else has gone, all right, Sand, well, we're just going to buy Ellen Ireland and we're going to buy Shaw Many. Oh, Sand, we'll have Mbappe, Messi and Neymar in the same team. Time beat us. And like Arsenal are going to go through this now. Arsenal might win the league this year, but they're not going. They can't sustain the success. They just won't be able to, because either the players will get bought, City will go, fuck that, here's another 300 million to throw at the next seven lads.
They'll go and chuck 150 million at Saka or Martinelli.
Or they'll go to Barcelona and go, we'll just have Gavi and Pedri, please, and we'll give you 500 million quid in there in our midfield and we're going to win again. The game has changed, and this is why now we're with the owners looking to sell. And I get it, because every time I go on Twitter now, everyone's like, FSG, FSG, I was going to get it. But like, they know this, because they're looking to sell. They are. They've admitted that's their first admission. This isn't for us anymore. We can't do this. They might go and spend 100 million on Jude Bellingham in the summer. They might. But when 100 million, Paul, isn't going to make Liverpool now. It's mad we're at a point because they've left it so long, like the engine MOT thing. They could throw 100 mil at it and it still won't fix it.
No.
The issue goes back further than the summer, ultimately, doesn't it? Because the idea, and we've said this before, and to elaborate it for anybody new who's listening or watching, is if you are a sell-to-buy club, you've got to sell players. When was the last big sale we've made?
Coutinho.
Yeah.
Right. And when was that?
2017, 18.
Great. And it's 2023?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. And we let our top striker at the end of last season walk out the door for nothing. So we had to replace him. So, yeah, for nothing, basically, isn't it? Like, you're one of the top five players in the fucking world.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had to replace him with an £85 million youth prospect for all intents and purposes. So you've replaced the one guy that you left, but you shouldn't have got to a situation where he was walking out the door for 30 million quid anyway. I mean, that's a major issue. And then we've had no one come into the midfield since Naby Keita for 50 million quid, basically a proper centre midfielder coming.
Yeah, it's Thiago doing a shine like 4 years, and this is where we've got.
Sorry,
no, but that was a cheap, it was 20 million quid. Like, it was a...
Yeah, but
I get it. Because
he was also the best centre.
And he's brilliant. I get it. He's brilliant. But what we found ourselves with now is that we're in a position where, because I think it's a great analogy, we've left it so long. It needs major work now. Like, every part we've sat here for what 40 minutes, and we've diagnosed eight problems.
The problem, The biggest problem is
now. This is the biggest one.
But this goes back to the thing, you're right. Because again, when you're a club built like Liverpool are, for better or for worse, there's a way you've got to go about things. We constructed a squad that was capable of challenging the world, and it did. And a lot of the time, it came out on top and won. But the problem was, and we knew this the whole time, they were all in the same age category, apart from obvious little exceptions. But our entire front three are all within a year and a half of age of each other.
We all got old together.
Exactly. The core of the team are all similar. Alisson, Van Dijk, Fabinho's a little bit younger. Matip's around that point as well. Obviously, Milner was older. Henderson's a little bit older than them, but he's not far from that. Thiago, we brought in. It's what happens when you buy ready-made footballers, is that you don't get the 3 or 4 years as they're getting better and better and better. You've got them there, and then there's no more room for improvement, and therefore a shorter lifespan. So all of that team came to a head at the same time. So you had to replace the entire team. And you can't do that in one window. And I understand what this boils down to is there should have been slightly more forward planning in this.
I think there would have been, right? But I do think, and no one likes to hear it, the COVID season fucked everything up as far as plans go. Because Liverpool obviously lost 70 million quid in turnover and therefore all of their budget the year they won the league. Yeah. And that, look, I'm sorry to harp on about it. It was a couple of years ago, but there is a knock-on impact for that. The other football clubs were able to just kind of swallow, to be honest with you. The ones that we're fighting with certainly swallowed it much easier than we were able to. And that was the time when we needed to A, sell when no one was buying, and B, buy when no one was selling.
I also think when we were on top, we didn't. So Minamino we bought, didn't we? After
7 million quid or something.
Yeah, so that's. I mean, we've got Robbo for 7-8 million. So yeah, you can do that. But the lack of investment when you're on top to keep challenging, when City just seem to. Oh, we want another backup right back. Okay, there's 50 million on that.
Again, this look.
I don't put it down to Man City spending. They're going to spend. Bedwetters are going to wet the bed. It's what they do. You know what I mean? We've got a way of us doing it, and we didn't enact what we were supposed to do.
Yeah,
that's what I've got the problem.
And
with.
Ultimately, it's Liverpool, since they won the league, actually have invested. You know, they have bought footballers in. They bought lots of footballers in. But I agree, is that ability to go the one extra and do the one bit more will absolutely is because the rug was pulled from under them in a way that doesn't happen with Manchester City and doesn't happen with PSG and doesn't happen with Real Madrid, the fucking super clubs, the beyond super clubs, the super clubs. And it feels like negligence when we're sat here, but also I can't look past the fact that they have rebuilt the team. We haven't seen it because of a variety of circumstances in quite the same way yet, but the midfield is like the last part, and when it does, if we put the money into the midfield and not the attack, we'd be sat here crying that we hadn't spent money to refresh the attack, whereas we spent the best part of 2 million in the last year refreshing the attack. You know, we've spent not quite as much probably as need. You know, we're going to need to buy another centre half before long. I would suspect, but they've bought in a new left back, a new centre half, and a new right back in the last year and a bit, 2 years, because the Shimikas came the title winning season.
The major issue we've got, right, is that our turnover is on our record breaking season has just hit 500 million for the first time. We need £200 million worth of midfielder. like when you actually boil it down to turnover and transfer fees, it doesn't make sense.
Like, that's what I said before.
How could you possibly have 11 players and yet to stay at the top you need 200 million pound players just for the two lads in midfield? Never mind the centre half that you're talking about as well. Like, to put that on 500 million of turnover, not even profit, by the way, here. Like, the bubble's going to burst at some point, and this is why it's almost unsustainable to stay at the top with
one more final thing on that. But the reason why we stayed at the top was also because we weren't sell to buy in that period. We doubled down on the players that we had, and they chose trophies in a period. They chose to build to try and build a dynasty of success rather than try and reach for longevity and not guarantee success. So they kept brown footballers, and again, that was a big point made. People scoffed at Dejan Lovren. But in giving Dejan Lovren an extra contract and putting him on 120 odd grand a year, you meant weak. Your third, you know, you meant your third your third choice centre half wasn't a lad who was coming in and didn't understand how you played and wasn't new to the whole thing, and you weren't having seven players of churn every single summer, which is what sell to buy football clubs often end up as, and this is how you end up with. Again, we put Mo Salah on £350,000 a week. We would all, as fans, maybe you at home weren't, but we would have all given him whatever he wanted because he was the best player on the planet. We're all happy we've done that. But we're sat here now going, maybe that wasn't a good decision? Was that a bad decision? Well, you know, you've got to keep your good players, and Liverpool for so many years did not. We'd bend over for Barcelona every time they came around, and our footballers had their heads turned by Barcelona. That doesn't happen anymore because we made Liverpool a place where you could get good money and you could be competitive. But combined with COVID, what COVID did was not so much mean that we couldn't sell Salah or Mane at top price, which we might have done. It meant that we couldn't sell Nat Phillips, and we couldn't sell Harry Wilson earlier, and we couldn't sell all these other lads who we've become brilliant at selling for 15 to 25 million quid, because that's the market that disappeared, and that's how we funded most of what we've done. And we're in a position now, and you're right, where the owners need to pull the finger out and go a bit deep, go into the purse, open it up, because we're now in a position, the same position as Chelsea are in now, and the same position that Arsenal were in 2 years ago, where you've got, it's we're not that top team anymore. You've got to go and spend above your means to jumpstart it, to get yourself back in there.
The difficulty, I think, for the owners of Liverpool Football Club right now is it's almost like a gambler who's struggling trying to get the money back. You know what I mean? Because we have increased the wages to £350,000 a week for the likes of Mo Salah, and everything has been built and predicated on the fact that we're going to get £80 million a year from Champions League football. If we do not get that for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, we're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, completely and utterly fucked.
We're Arsenal, aren't we? We're Man United. Having said all this, and I want to go back to Chloe's point earlier, when the lads on the pitch aren't playing well, you know, there's a lot of reasons here, but are our lads that much worse than, like, Brighton's players? And then in midfield, they might be. But overall, you know what I mean? Like, are we as bad as we've looked over the last few weeks? There's still an element of, do your jobs better. No, you know what I mean?
Let's be clear. Liverpool will probably win three or four out of the next five. And when you win a couple of games back-to-back, you feel a bit better about it. And I'm trying to hammer this point home. This is what it feels like to support a football club that is only good enough to be between sort of third and seventh in the league. That's where we've slipped.
Brighton away looks a really tricky one.
Yeah.
Where in past years you go, we're going to play Brighton.
We'll talk about that. We haven't really had time to talk about the positives from the Wolves game, and there are a few, but we'll spill over into part two with that, because I want to talk a bit about Cody Gakpo, and I want to talk about Darwin and Trent very briefly, and then we will talk about Brighton and all that kind of stuff as well. But yes, very brief break from us. We've got a phenomenal series, all episodes streaming right now, of My Liverpool Debut. Here's the trailer.
My Liverpool Debut, a new series, exploring where it all began for a number of Anfield favourites.
We had that belief and nothing was going to get in our way, nothing was going to stop us. I was just fortunate to get my chance.
I'm about to wear the red strip for the first time and play with all the wonderful talent that I was in awe of.
And the travelling Liverpool fans started singing my name. You can imagine how special that felt.
Football saved my life.
It was amazing to be part of that lineup with that caliber of players.
I knew I deserved to be there. I knew I deserved that chance. I knew I was ready.
I'm Jamie Carragher.
I'm Phil Thompson.
I'm Martin Kelly.
I'm Jim Beglin.
I'm Neil Mellor.
My name is Bruce David Grobbelaar.
And this is my Liverpool debut.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yes, check out my Liverpool debut. All episodes available right now on redmanplus.com. Fantastic stuff. Tom's done a brilliant job getting you closer to some brilliant stories. You know, we all dream of playing for Liverpool, but speaking to a bunch of fellas who actually got to live the dream of walking out at Anfield, pulling on the famous red shirt, and then getting to live in the city as a Liverpool player and what that's all like, really good stuff. Yeah, look, carrying on a bit from before, I did want to kind of move on, but yeah, I took on Cody Gakpo, Chloe. For the first 15 minutes, I was really impressed. I thought his link up with Robbo was excellent. I think it was one of those things that what Chris was talking about before, movement, is there's two guys who dovetailed wonderfully. You know, they're playing give and goes. It meant Robbo could get to the byline. There's times where it meant Gakpo was getting to the byline, or he's able to cut in and either have a shot or look for a pass. It felt like the most natural our left hand side looked since. Not even since last season, probably like the start of last season or 2 years before with Mane and Robbo.
See, I was one of them that, sure, I enjoyed what he brought to the table the first 15, but I also don't know where they're thinking of playing Cody Gakpo, because when Luis Diaz comes back, he's not playing left wing. You've got Darwin Nunes, who I think should be playing left wing. I mean, the two times in that game that you saw him before he got the goal, where he actually, I mean, his first touch was in the 16th minute. If that doesn't tell you that we're not getting the ball in the right areas quick enough, then I don't know what does. But the two places where he looked the most exciting and he got on the ball was when he'd ran the channel into the wing and he was basically in Mo Salah's position, and from that we got two chances where we got corners out of them. Darwin Nunes up top didn't, he loves, you know, running in behind, but that's if we got the ball, and one time did we get that ball off and he scores from it, but we didn't see enough of him. We didn't give Darwin Nunes enough of the ball, and I thought Cody Gakpo, there was, I was screaming for Jürgen to just switch him and Darwin Nunes. That's what I wanted.
Do wonder whether that's a plan moving forward. And well, obviously, we can't know just yet. But because Darwin's just, he feels electric out wide, and Gakpo just looks like a really good intelligent footballer. It's a bit outrageous at the moment, the idea we would just start him there. But we're hearing rumours like Gakpo won't start against Brighton because he needs to, they're going to start working on the integration kind of thing. It makes perfect sense if you're dropping him in an isolated game, Chris, to play where he's played all season.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think it's an interesting, I certainly do think it's an interesting idea.
Me and Josh did the deep dive on Cody Gakpo last week and stuff, and you know what was boss actually coming out of that was Tom came up to me yesterday and was like, everything you spoke about was there. You know, you could see absolutely everything that you spoke about.
And you just go,
no, it makes you feel good because obviously you put work into it. We watched loads and loads of footage on him and stuff. So, you know, anyone can do that. It's not like, but we got it right. So that made me feel good. But then you watch him, and one of the things that we did talk about is the option to play a 4-2-3-1, or the option that, you know, I had an inkling that actually maybe Gakpo was going to be the new Bobby Firmino. And because of what yous are talking about now, and that's the natural sort of conclusion to what I think we saw. You know, he's a guy who has got clever movement, who understands where he needs to be.
Great first touch.
Yep. Wants to be a provider for other players. You can see that in his stats and stuff like that. And you don't miss out on Nunes being electric. And the long-term future for Diaz could possibly be right-hand side. We've seen him used there a few times. If you wanted to just say the players are at the football club, that could be it. You know, or you know maybe you do get someone to long-term replace Salah who plays in the same way. But I do think there's something in that. And so for me, I actually liked Gakpo's performance. I thought, you know, what he did on and off the ball was pretty good. What I really loved about it is stuff that you will only see in the ground, unfortunately. You know, I saw him telling Nunes where to be it when we were defending throw-ins, you know, and when we were trying to press them, I saw him pointing at other players nearby to tell him, I'm going here, so you've got to do this. And that's great to see because we brought a leader from PSV, a captain of PSV, into the football side. So for him to be able to, on his debut, when he has no fucking clue who any of the lads are, even if he's not telling them what to do, he's telling them, I'm going to do this, so you have to do that. Yeah. Rather than like, I understand the system so much that I'm telling you, you go over there. But it's a team game. And if you press as a single person, you look ridiculous. So when you go, I'm going, somebody else has to go.
Yeah.
That's not, I know the system better than you. That's, we need to go now because I'm going. And that's really good as well. So some really strong things I saw from his debut.
Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that his first touch was a cracking little touch for himself to have a shot off.
Which is why I think... Let us see if he can do that Firmino role. In a case, he won't be able to do it like Firmino.
It feels very much at the moment like we're bundling through, aren't we? And I think Diaz being back changes the dynamic of what we've got.
When we sat down in the front against Crystal Palace, and Jürgen basically said, "Well, what else was going to do? We had nobody else."
Yeah.
Like, all right, Sam. Well, you didn't like Oxlade-Chamberlain playing left wing, and they obviously don't fancy Fabio Carvalho. Because he scored the goal in one game, we haven't seen him since, so he obviously don't like him. They brought Ben Doak on ahead of him the other day, so he's, whatever's going on with Carvalho, he feels like he's out the mix. So it feels like they've gone, you've been playing left wing all year, we need a left winger, go and play there. And I could see games where he does fit left wing. he would fit left wing in a really good Liverpool team, who are penning teams in. Because you don't really need someone to get to the byline, because there's nowhere to go, because you're in the final third all the time. I think he could be really well there, because this is what Sadio Mane, and this is why Sadio Mane was one of the best players in the world. He'd give you both. He gave you the counter-attacking ability, but he also was amazing in close spaces and working his way through gaps. At the moment, it feels like we've got Nunes, who can do one. Maybe we've got Gakpo, and he could develop into both, because he isn't the slowest. He is quite quick. Yeah. So I could see him working left wing, but in a team that is struggling, that's a hard go. I was so impressed with the touch that opened the shot up, because I thought, no one else is doing that for ages.
Yeah.
Who else does that?
Well, most people would just naturally knock it back towards your right foot because he's right-footed and take the shot on. And we've seen Diaz do that. We've seen Mane do that. We've seen Nunes do that. And so that's why I think it's important that he plays with both feet. But sorry, just before you interject, one of the other things is I think he would work as a left winger as well, but I think you've got to tell Nunes to stay central. And I think that's one of the things that you need, because his natural reaction is to cut inside and whip the ball into the box, either for a runner from midfield or your centre forward.
He comes with the reputation of being a great crosser, doesn't he?
And that's it. Yeah. And his corners, and you know, his corners are absolutely superb as well. He got like 3 or 4 assists from corners this season as well, I think. But you need Nunes to be central, and that's again another learning curve for Nunes, because we've not curbed his enthusiasm for going out to that left hand side.
And the alternative, again, is just this is what is formed with understanding. When we're comparing, when we've finally moved on from Mane, Firmino, Salah, and obviously Jota was finding his feet in that team as well, is the fine margins of...
Christ,
of
Jota knowing, would be brilliant with Gakpo.
Yeah. But the fine margins of when you know what everyone else is doing, it's not outside the realms of possibility. And again, we saw this a little bit in the mid-season games, of the person who plays left ends up central and the person who starts central ends up left. For me, you know, kind of, you can't really do that with Bobby anymore. You could barely do it 6 years ago. Whereas there's a world where if you've got Gakpo, Diaz, Nunes and Jota, it were all your four options for two positions. They can all play both, and then how are you meant to stop that? because you've got a full bag of tricks there, and at any point during the game, Nunes is just going to find some space on the left-hand side and burst through, and then all of a sudden Gakpo finds himself in centre forward. He's taller than Nunes. You know, that's no bad thing if that happens in a game.
He can play 10 as well, so there's a world where Jürgen went to it earlier the year. He went to 4-2-3-1 and quickly moved away from it, and injuries dictated a bit of both. We had not many midfielders, we had loads of attackers, so he went to it. There's a world where he goes back to that. If Firmino's fit, he could play all four of them. And then you worry about which midfielders pick. Well, you just pick two, and you tell Thiago and Fabinho to be a pivot. And if you're worried about being counter attacked on, you say, you two sit. Obviously, Thiago's got license to get the ball forward. You two sit. Those four lads plus one of your fullbacks are your attacking threat. And they all of a sudden your balance is right. You've got 5 and 5 at the minute. We're at a position where you're right, Chris, as before, Fabinho feels like he has to go because we're not doing it with five. So we're sending six. Actually, no. Just get five better attackers to be your five, and that is an option. And I think where we're heading towards the versatility point's right. Other than Mo Salah, we've got a lot of lads who can do a lot of different things, and you could argue Mo Salah could go up front, but they're not fit. So we are just getting by, and it feels like at the moment we're going to have to just get by.
What we've bought, what I think our mission statement has been in the transfer market in the last 2 years is to buy scrappers. Is to replace like the brutality or, you know, like the we used to call the Brexit midfield and all that, where it was all about just being strong and whatever. Yeah, we found a bunch of lads who I think are trying to do that plus. You know, we've got like Jota's a little narc, isn't he? You've cleared Diaz is just a street fighter, you know, through and through. Darwin Nunes has got that going for him as well. Canate's got that going for him. And then all of a sudden, I don't know about Gakpo, but I saw enough determination in how he was playing to suggest that he might be like the, you know, more silky, a bit more like a boulder wrapped in silk, rather than just being like a big bundle of like nails sticking out of a wooden plank like Darwin Nunes is at times. But that's clearly what we're trying to do, and you just need to get them more on the pitch. And I want to see. I'm interested to see when they do finally, eventually buy the midfielders. It best be worth the wait, and I suspect it will be because look at what we've brought. I really like all the players we've brought in. I really like watching them. I really like how much they want to go out and fight and die for the shirt when they take. And that's a great entry level. We've had too many lads, so you can buy those players in who are the nice, but do the you know, they float through football matches. We're not buying footballers like that. With Carvalho maybe being the slight exception, who feels like a bit of a punt of you might just hit upon a gem, and he's absolutely
worst case with him is you sell him for like 10 million, so he was worth a gamble. I think we'd all agree there quick that we haven't bought bad players. We just haven't bought there's just the glaring option of there was just a position that needed filling, and whether it was through lack of funds or the manager being too loyal to certain lads or just people underperforming. Right now, this should be Oxlade-Chamberlain's time and Naby's time, and it's not, for whatever reason. All these, so
The most upsetting thing about Naby Keita is he looks right now streets ahead of everyone else who can play that right side at eight in our team. He can't do it for more than he definitely can't do it for more than 60 minutes at the moment, but also that is it. What he should have been, he should be the best player in our midfield because he's got all the skills for it.
He still might be, by the way.
But that's the stupidity of it, because we all know now it's pointless. Not even worth our breath having the conversation around his injury record and blah, blah, blah. He's going to get injured again. He's going to miss games. You're not getting 290s in a week out of Naby Keita at any point between now and the end of the season. But that's the level. That's who we, you know, who else? Where's your other Naby Keita?
Play for Borussia Dortmund.
Well, yeah, exactly. But anyway, just quickly.
There's got to be more than just fucking three players that can improve our side, by the way.
No,
the other thing that I'd
sorry,
like to
we
say...
need to move on, Chloe. Oh, I'm really sorry. Brighton up next. You can talk about this. Yeah, we've had tons of midfielder links. This is what we were meant to be discussing. Because there have been loads. they're absolutely empty. There's nothing concrete in there at the moment. When there is, rest assured we'll have it covered. But the Brighton thing, Chloe, I just couldn't think of a worse team for us to play at this point. And I genuinely would rather play Manchester City, because I feel like on any given day I feel quite comfortable that we can have their number. But there's just something about Brighton and those teams right now, and Brentford are the other one, and now because they've got a better manager.
You mean the ones who are better than us?
Well, yeah, there's a lot, but it's the one you can spell it out. They're defensively organised. They've got a great system. They press for every ounce of energy they've got in their bodies, and they've got loads of pace to it. Yeah, when it goes the other way, and they're particularly now going away to Brighton, we'll probably ultimately just beat them because that's how weird Liverpool are. But yeah, I would not have cherry picked Brighton in this situation at all.
No, but once again, you need to. What Liverpool have lacked to do in games and also after games is respond, is react. And there comes a point where at some point Liverpool have got to react to something. Brighton away is a horrible game. The boss, I love everything about Brighton Football Club, from the players they bring in, how they do it, the system about them, the manager seems boss, the players on the pitch play for the badge. And once again, Liverpool have stuck with a point of, now it's a case of Brighton will probably go toe-to-toe with you. We haven't got the... We can create chances. We have a problem putting them away, but also if we're too slow in the build-up, then we've got an extra man forward and we're going to get countered, and they're so good on the counter. They've got Alex McAllister, who set the World Cup alight. Trossard, who's absolutely ripped us apart already this season.
Caicedo.
Yeah, Caicedo, who just bosses a midfield. Yeah. There's a lot of points not to look forward to, but I'm hoping the Liverpool side see it as an opportunity in terms of, look at everything you've done wrong in the past 2, 3, 4 weeks. Right, let's go and put it correct. And it's not a nice place to go, but it's not the hardest place. That's what I would say. The fans turned on Graham Potter at one stage. Not the greatest atmosphere going, yet they'll get behind their own team. But I just think the Reds need to...
I cancel my hotel here. It's what I'm for, right, is that what the issue we've got, and it's a fundamental thing now, is that I thought after Brentford, usually when Liverpool shit the bed in recent, the Liverpool that we all knew, you could count on a reaction the next week. You don't lose that game because Liverpool, listen, they lost 3-0 at Watford and you get a reaction. It can happen. Sometimes you just don't turn up. But I don't feel that from this team. There's nothing. They've done nothing this season to make me suggest they're going to be up for it. I'm sick of Andy Robertson after every game. And he comes out and fair enough to me speaks. It's the same thing. Yeah, we just need to be better. We need to be more. It's like, well, do it then. So all he is to fucking do it, because we're going to, they're better than Brentford, and Brentford fucking ran the nuts off us and outworked us. They're Brentford, but a bit more quality, essentially. They've got more legs in midfield than us, they've got better quality, and that's mad because we're fucking Liverpool and they're Brighton. So we're going to have to go there and we're going to have to scrap. And this might be one. Jürgen said the other day, called them a proper football team, he respects them, and he says that himself. We're going to go there, and it's like, of course we can win because of Liverpool, but I bet you 80% of neutrals are going, fancy Brighton there. Yeah. I fancy Brighton, and they should, because they're and it's mad because the league table says we're very close to each other, but in terms of momentum and how the mood of Brighton is this and the mood of Liverpool is this, we've still got the quality, but this is going to be a game where I've seen us. I went to Brighton once and we won like 6-0 or something, 5-0, and ran the if we win this, it's probably going to be by both teams are going to score and you're trying to scrap a 2-1 or a 3-2 or something. It doesn't feel like a comfortable game, and I really, really hope that Jürgen and the guys, there's a plan, because if the plan is do what we've done the last couple of weeks, we will get beat. Like, something they've had a week. Is there a system change? Is there a personnel change? Is there a tactics change? Could I promise you?
Well, I want it to be a narrative change. What I mean by that is, from the players, I want them to be hearing everything that everybody has said about them. And ultimately, what we're all saying about them is that you're not trying hard enough. That's what it comes down to. When we're talking about legs, when we're talking about effort, that, you know, I think a lot of it comes... It's when we as Liverpool fans watch our team, we expect the bare minimum. You give absolutely everything for your fucking shirt. And I don't think we're seeing that at the moment. So I don't even care if we don't put the best performance of the world in. But I'd rather win this game through effort and willpower than through quality right now. Because that's what I think would make the most difference to the team going forwards.
Yeah. That, and if the lads up front could just take a few more of the chances, I think we'd be a little
maybe
bit
score two goals and don't win.
The goalie chuck one in. And I know they had other chances, but what I mean is... But there's points that we've dropped in the last few games where this chance, if you create enough chances to score goals, we have periods like this. This is not me defending the porous nature of how we're going about things, but goals cover up cracks in a huge way. And I agree. I think the effort, the overall endeavour needs to be better. I genuinely think it has been improved. I think what we need is bespoke plans for who we're playing against. And, you know, this idea that the team can figure it out on the pitch on their own doesn't seem to be the thing anymore. They need to get back and to be told, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should be doing it. We're playing, I know with the Wolves replay will hamper this, but we've got a game a week now for pretty much more or less a month. We've had a week to prepare for Brighton. We should have a clearer idea on what they're going to be doing, and can we alter our plan? Because we're not the top team anymore. We've got to get back to the climb again. The climb can be the hardest thing, because God knows we've tried it and failed throughout the Premier League countless times. But at least you can set goals, and you can have customised messages for every week, you know, as opposed to, right, just, like footy manager, it's not just press and continue because you know your team's boss. You've got to go and set it up, and you've got to go have a little bit more of a think about what you're doing. That's what I want to see from this.
I agree, that's why I disagree with, I don't see a lack of effort. I see a lack of physical ability, and a system not to leave them exposed with that physical ability is a problem. I don't think we can go and play this 4-3-3 at Brighton in the same way that we have done those last few weeks and win. I just don't. He's going to have to do something. It could be 4-2-3-1. It could be 4, whatever it is. It could be Mo Salah. I don't know what it is, but we're going to get legged around the middle of that pitch if something doesn't change. It could be the diamond, which we've seen him use before. You can keep the same players and just switch it and go Harvey Elliott as a 10 or whatever. So that we're getting rammed through the middle of the pitch and they will do it to us. So I'm with you. I said the other day, I don't know if it's arrogance or just undying belief in a group of players, because you've seen them do this before, and you've sent them to the well and they've come back with water every single time. But it just feels like we're sending the lads out. I don't know, it's a bit like, I don't want to be dramatic about it, but like, you're sending them over the top with a fucking rifle, you know what I mean? And they're going to get fucking mowed down. We're not, it's not right. It has to change this week, and I would be shocked. No, it's a lie, actually. That's what worries me, is that I wouldn't be shocked if we went, lads, go and do it again. And that's a worry, because I don't see that in reality, though,
as I say again, I know there's a general overriding sense that everything's fucked because there's been a couple of bad results back to back. I'm not saying that the season's been great by any stretch, but the overall feeling when we went into the mid-season break was we'd kind of managed to turn a corner, have a little bit more of a grip, and at least like to see us get back to that. The mission forever is win the game that's in front of us and see if we can get to another 5 wins back to back and see where that stands. It feels incredibly unlikely at this point, but that's
2 against Wolves too. It's Brighton twice. Well, potentially there's a Chelsea game in there. There's a lot of teams where you think, ooh. But then
you feel like about every team at the moment.
When you
feel
your confidence
kind of whatever, you know, that's a little bit on us. You know, yep. you would be back in the manager, back in us. And this is the difficult thing with us is, if we were a lesser team and a lesser fan base and all those kind of things, we'd be tearing into a bunch of people. We'd be tearing into the manager and we'd be tearing into that. And I know some people are, but I think that exists online and feels amplified more than it is in reality. You know, people turning on, you see, talk about Pep Linders and blah, 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 blah. The problem we've got, and Alisson's goal against Wolves is the archetypal example of this, is when you've got brilliance, sometimes you've just got to shrug it off and trust that they're going to figure it out. And I know that's really hard as a fan when we want to feel like we're having a real impact on it, and we're all talking about things, we'll try and put things to right in terms of conversation, but that's the most frustrating where we're at, is we've kind of got to trust that they can get
it
right.
Choice, you know? It's them that plays the games, yeah. Isn't it, ultimately?
And ultimately they've chosen to spend the transfer money thing. It's not like there hasn't been money to spend. Jürgen Klopp and Pep Linders have chosen to spend the money where they've chosen to spend it. It's not really worked, but again, we can't, unfortunately, go back and spend the £80 million on Darwin Nunes on someone else. It's done now. It's spent. It's one of them. We've just kind of got to, unfortunately, sit and ride it out, as Liverpool are, unfortunately. This is our level. Every other team's like this. Say there's a crisis club every week. every week one of Chelsea, Spurs and Liverpool and Man United are going to lose a game of football and probably lose two back to back because that's the level we're all at, and they will be the ones where everyone feels fucked. They're horrible, absolutely grim, and that's why we just, the mission now is to get it working to a degree where when we play Real Madrid, they don't absolutely wipe the floor with us, and we have it as a game where we
you know, we'll batter them. Fine with that.
Off they go. It's like the Rhodes, other than the Rhodes, yeah, and the schools and the architecture. Like, yeah, what Real Madrid got except the defenders, the goalie, the midfielder,
what
the manager,
attackers. I'd like Jürgen not to, like, you pick our best midfield three in terms of individuals, it doesn't mean it's the best midfield three in games against certain opposition. You need to play the players that are best to face the opposition than just the best technically gifted.
I can't wait until we see Milner back in the middle of the park.
That's mad, isn't it? That's
I genuinely believe that he will exact some fucking standards on the rest of the side.
Which I am tearing the shirt off right now. I was going to look it up. I can't wait.
I'm right on this. Like, there is no way that he lets everybody else get away with what they've been getting away with. If you're going forward, you fucking get back when James Milner's in the middle of the park. That's the type of problem.
But
so when you say
you
half disagree with me before, I understand that. But when you get forwards and you can't get back, that's a fucking problem.
Don't
when you're
forward,
24 man. Years old and you're Trent Alexander-Arnold or whatever, and you get forwards and you can't get back, that's a fucking problem because he can. Because all of those players should be able to do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But they haven't been.
I don't think it's effort. I think it's a physicality issue. I just
I think they want to. I just don't think they can, and that is a problem.
And that's what you mean about the best midfield thing. I don't. And this is the problem where everything feels fucked. Is that it's nowhere near as bad. It's bad compared to where we've been. But in the grand scheme of things, nowhere near. Well, that's the point.
It's got to be Fabinho, Thiago Henderson is the best midfield.
The best midfield. But once again, like. That's when you last season, when you're at the level that you were, yeah, okay, it looks like an absolute Rolls Royce in terms of a midfield. But when you need someone to just be hard as nails in midfield and just put one on people, I mean, have a bit of nastiness about you.
It's not our best midfield. I'm sorry. I think we all think it is.
I think Naby might be another.
I'd love to know an example of where of a game where.
What is?
No, exactly. It's probably Fabinho, Thiago, Keita.
I think it is.
Because Naby Keita might be one of the better players, but he's not in our best midfield because he's just not in our best midfield.
I think he is. He's just never done it.
That's the problem.
How can you put someone in there and say it's your best midfield when he's never
done it? Because he has done it.
Every
time it's a big game, he fucking goes missing and gets subbed at half time.
See, I disagree. I thought at the end of last season we saw it where it did work and it worked well. The City semi-final just springs to mind is that it should be him. But I'm with you. I'm not confident in it.
And when it is, he's left and he's best on the left.
I'm with you to an extent, but I've got no confidence in any of them. That's the problem. We've got eight options and every single one of them, I'm like... And this goes back to Jürgen's comments in the summer and the fact that they acknowledged
at this point, you're right, because look, I've been saying, bang this one for last year, is Fabinho, Thiago Henderson absolutely should be our best midfield, but in reality... They very rarely play together because we're very rarely capable of getting all three of them on the pitch at the same time. But if that's our best, the problem is that if they play to the peak of their powers and the peak of their abilities, it's absolutely sound. And then all of a sudden, Milner, Jones, Keita, Elliott, whatever, let's say Ox for the sake of argument, sound because they're just coming in to get some minutes off them lads so that they can continue to be the best. The problem is, I'm just not sure that midfield is actually fit for purpose of what we needed to be, and that's why again we're not playing Man City every week. It was a better midfield to play Man City with Keita in there than Jordan Henderson, and I get what the idea is with that, but to the point now, you can't. Naby Keita can't be in our best midfield because he can't fucking play a game of football.
That's the problem.
But that's true of almost all of them at this point.
Can I say something?
Our best midfield last season had Hendo at the six. So I don't know why Fabinho's made all of them. Yeah. By the way,
and listen, this is my point. But to go back to your thing you said before, Liverpool, like James Milner might be in it, and there's no one who can go.
No, I said I can't wait for James Milner to come back in to exact some standards.
But I think there's not a three way. There's nobody who Jürgen could leave out against Brighton, and they could go to the manager in the eye and go, "You are out of order for leaving me out." I just want a guy to play
in midfield, and this comes back to the Bayern thing. We're going to have to end because we're going well over on this. But I just want someone who plays in our midfield who loves winning the ball, who lives to go and get the ball and give it to the other lads. Like, I want the first season Momo Sissoko in this midfield more than absolutely. If you could have passing ability, if you could have passing ability, that would be great. But, you know, just someone who lives that aggression, who's angry and takes offence at the opponent having the football. Milner's a bit like that, but I don't want a 36-year-old James Milner in the midfield, and that's where we're at.
You want us to sign Moyes to Casado this week and play him against Brighton on Sunday?
That would be nice, and hopefully play him against Brighton twice.
Yeah, sad. Right, cool. I don't feel any better. I hope you all feel at home.
I don't think that worked as well as I wanted it.
No, because we just couldn't shut up about the owners and transfers and all that, because ultimately that's where we're at, because the only solution, because we can't see how there's a solution within what we've got, so therefore it has to come without. But in reality, the solution has to be internal, because
it doesn't. It's January, they can fucking buy a player.
They could buy, yes.
last month that you buy, Paul, but not this month, mate. It is January.
There's literally a window in the calendar what says, here's an opportunity for you to go to another football team and give them money.
We used that opportunity once this January, right?
It exists.
We know we can do it.
If you think one midfielder going to come in and make this a better month, as a yes, play better this 1 month.
1,000,000%. They won't make us win the league, but they will make us a better team. There are a list of footballers who could do that. And the fact is,
do you think they would drop straight in and just be? Yes. I think that's naive.
It would be hard to be worse.
I can take.
I'm not having that. We're playing against two of them this weekend. There are definitely players who you could go and buy.
Stop.
It's not about the system at this point. It's go in and do us a favour, close the lads down.
You run. Try that. Yeah. Kick it away from them.
How much are you paying for Moises Caicedo?
How much do I want to pay?
They're
saying 65, aren't they?
Plus
add-ons. It was,
it's all right.
Talking 70 million quid.
The report I read
yesterday said they've slashed the price from 85 million. Because it's January sales, obviously, to 65 million plus add-ons.
And he's going to Chelsea for that now.
Which is fucking mental.
He would be like our third most expensive footballer of all time if we signed Moises.
This is what I'm saying, the game's changed.
It's fucking mental.
The game has changed.
No, but again, if we go and buy Moises Caicedo with that price, he's fine. He's fine. He's not fucking...
like a 40-year-old here, isn't he?
He's fine. No, he's fucking...
Too much money in the game.
No, it's not even that. That is stupid.
He's not
fucking £65 million worth of footballer. I'm sorry, that's a huge mistake on Liverpool's part. And when we've got no money to buy all the other things, that's fucking stupid. Stupid. There must be a lad. I agree. Go and buy a lad who does what he does. There's got to be someone else who does what Moises Caicedo does, who's not going to cost you £65 million. We're not meant to, but we do. £65 million is stupid money.
I don't care. It's not my money. I don't give a fuck.
No, but
I don't care.
He's not good enough to pay £65 million for.
Yeah, but that's where we can disagree. That's fine. But like then go and find the £50 million. Go and find someone. And to be honest, it wouldn't be that hard to go and find like £25 million to buy someone who's better at the moment, because we're not that hard.
And again, this is our own fucking fault. Yeah. Because he's a £25 million.
The idea that Jude Bellingham is the only midfielder.
He's a £30 million footballer.
Yeah. There's got to be 10 to 15 lads who
the are. The idea that Jude Bellingham was the only fella who can one day and make this better.
And the Caicedo thing is nuts, because he's not that level. He's good and he might go on to be that level, but if you're that. I want to play
him. You don't get finished product for 65 million. Look at Darwin Nunes. Yep. You don't get finished product for that, so you might have to
the
just
finished
change
product is Jude Bellingham at 100 million quid.
That's the difference. And he's not the finished product, by the way.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's nowhere near the finished product. He's just better.
But if I'm not buying the finished product, that's my point. Is you can get not finished products for a lot less than £65 million. If you want a finished product, it's kind of one of the buying that middle tier. He's probably good enough to play. He's probably just about good enough to play for us. I don't know. I'm wary about that. Very, very wary. That's a ludicrous amount of money for a lad who might not be good enough to play for us.
I don't. you're looking at youth and everything again, which is one of the problems that we've got, is that you need someone to come in and make a difference now. Mm-hmm. Harvey Elliott did that at the start of the season, was one of our best players. You've ran him into the ground. Takumi Minamino, you decided not to get a player who was unbelievable or very, very, very good in Erling Haaland or someone like that who also played against us. You went for Takumi Minamino, who I absolutely loved,
yeah,
by
but we
the
paid
way.
It, look, ultimately, we paid £8 million for Takumi exactly, Minamino, and he was our top goal scorer in domestic cups, and we won both those competitions.
So if £8 million gets tacky...
He's proves my point, is that...
I still think you're not going to get a boss midfielder.
You don't build a squad with £100 million footballers. We can't. You build it by buying a few £100 million footballers who are the best of the best, and then you go and you use your scouting and you buy players who are.
Yeah, but
you
think the difference
for
me? I think the difference for me here is that this lad works in this league, so that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I think he does work in this league. I think Brighton proved that. Like, you know what I mean? The fact that everyone's talking about how
did Andy Carroll worked in the league, and we spent £35 million.
Yeah, and that signing didn't work. Whereas I think this is more. I think it's a safer 65 than a 45 million on someone who's never played in the league, to be honest with you. And I think there is a price that is added on for Premier League experience.
And to get a player out of Brighton.
And in the middle of the season when they've genuinely got a chance at Europe.
Yeah.
That means the price goes up.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. He's not a £65 million player, but I can understand how he is worth 65 to Brighton.
Without a shadow of doubt, of course.
Also, when you look at the players who we've got in our squad, Robbo was £8 million. Trent, you brought him through the academy. Darwin Nunez was only, 45, 50? You know, we've got these... How much was he?
Like 80.
Yeah, but he's worth it. But, like, you've got the players there that a lot of them... I mean, even Fabinho that you paid for, and I still think he'll come back up because he's shown me signs of that. You've already got the players that you've kind of mentioned already. Yeah, you could do with a couple more.
Right.
But
that's my point, is that if we start shitting the bed in the transfer market, it's in for a penny, in for a pound for me. I agree that we could improve. We could absolutely find footballers to improve the midfield. It has to be. But at the same time, if you now enter a world where you're paying Brighton £65 million for footballers because you're panicking, then it upsets everything. All of a sudden, every football club comes to you and goes, well... Because Chelsea and Arsenal have fucked us on this one by paying £50 million for Ben White and by paying whatever the hell Chelsea paid for Cucurella from there.
£50 million as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're just going...
The only person who's fucked us here is Liverpool for not signing in the summer.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the fucking problem.
And also,
here.
Very, very... Just, I know you're pushing time, but like, Takumi Minamino, go back to that one. The cheap signing works when he's there to complement the good ones. The issue we've got at the moment is that the midfield, the good one isn't there. But like, for example, I think everyone, we're broadly agreeing on a similar thing, is that we know I don't think accepting is the right way, but like we're not going to buy someone and play them against Brighton.
We need brilliant footballers, is my point.
We need
brilliant footballers, and this is my thing about.
Yeah, but what brilliant footy player are you getting?
That's 60.
For 40 million. I'm with you. Go and spend 100.
I'm not saying, exactly, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying what's the, and this is where I think we're at, by the way, is that I just don't see, I think they're going to continue to do what they've always done.
It's a big gamble, isn't it?
No, it is. It's a huge gamble, and I don't agree with it. I would happily, it's not my money, I would, you know, but what I'm saying is, if we start being that football team without the finances to back it up, then we're going to hasten our demise a lot quicker than we think. Because if you start being that football club that throws money above and beyond our footballers, you aren't at that level. And we've done it already with Nunez. That's, you know, let's be honest, we're living in the world where when you pay records money for a centre forward who isn't good enough to be, you know, it's true. You know, you do. Yeah, so you end up with Gylfi Sigurdsson. You know, it's careful, and that's my worry on this. Is I think we need to be a little careful on this. And look, it's not to us. We're not influencing the decision. Liverpool will do what they do. We should absolutely go out and bolster the midfield without a shadow of a doubt. We should have done it before, absolutely shadow of a doubt. We should have been doing it for years. We shouldn't have allowed ourselves to get to the situation. But we're in this situation now, and there's a concern where you start being that team that starts paying loads of money for lads who aren't quite at the level. Then you don't. Then when you turn around to buy the lads who you do need, and you've got no more fucking dough left to it, and that's when you start missing out on that. So I would, given the choice right now, and it sounds fucking stupid, But if and I'd like us to be in a situation where we can go and buy someone who's good enough, who's better than what we've got right now. I really hope we do. I really hope there is someone out there. Yeah,
can I offer a slightly different viewpoint here? One that, you know, go back to the money that Liverpool make in the Champions League. 65 million is next season's Champions League money. So you can
if
spend
you win it, you get
and you're in
mil.
It, and so. You're back into the Champions League. It's a bigger gamble, I think, to go for what we are wanting, which is Champions League football without any reinforcements.
Yeah.
Is the honest.
It's stupid. Isn't
exactly.
It?
So, you know, you're looking at spending 65 million to make 100. I think that's a better decision for Liverpool right now.
I think your model works when you're good.
I
watched Nunes look like the best midfielder by a country mile on the pitch against us for Wolves, and he was playing for about 20 minutes. You know what I mean? And like he was there in the summer. They didn't pull the trigger on. They didn't pull the trigger. Obviously, couldn't get Jude Bellingham. Couldn't get Tchouaméni. And then they ended up with fucking Arthur Melo. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? We've done the waiting thing. But we've tried the waiting thing. The waiting thing is why we're all sitting here going spend money on a midfielder. There's no point.
This is the same. But it's
sitting waiting anymore.
It's all part of the same problem, though. When you shit the bed at the end of a window, when you've not done it, and then you go and get a panic buy, who's just a stopgap. You Mario Balotelli instead of you don't get Alexis Sanchez, you end up with Mario Balotelli.
But now, look, if we'd have bought Sanchez, then look at his mustache now.
I know, yeah. But your point. But the problem is that
we'd have had that
weak clubs with a weak hand at the reins. Shit the bed now, and they'll go and spunk money on a footballer just to get a footballer. And we've lived that. We all remember that, right? Liverpool used to do that all the time.
But the problem is, Paul, I agree with what you're saying, but teams that don't spend get left behind.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a counterbalance to both. There's a counterbalance to both. And it's going by good player.
Yeah, that's all. All I'm saying is going by. If you're going to buy someone boss. Yeah. And what I say when it comes to Moises Caicedo,
you don't think he's
for
boss.
£70 million. No one here can unequivocally tell you. You just he's. You look, I like him. I would have him. I want him. I'm generally amazed we've not bought
Doesn't
him already.
Doesn't sound like it.
I just don't. But, yeah. but I think we're putting all it. If we think Moises Caicedo. if we think Moises Caicedo is going to fix all Liverpool's problems.
No one's going to fix all the problems.
Jude Bellingham doesn't fix all of Liverpool's problems.
You need three of them. Like, this is the point. We're fucked. And this is why. Yeah, we're going around the circle.
But also, if that one person who does have legs can help out Fabinho and make him have legs, then you're pretty much sad.
He's not helping
Thiago
Fabinho, then. He's 3 foot tall. You know, he's just another.
Kante is what? And Kante
Kante doesn't play what I want him.
Someone who can run about is the bare minimum for now. And with you, this isn't making Liverpool the league winners. This is Liverpool getting fourth place. Yeah. And then once you're fourth, then you can go and buy the one who can help you challenge for the league again. Like there isn't a footballer alive you could just drop into our midfield.
I just
at the
think
moment
there's a very
it...
Tottenham whiff about how we're all talking
and,
about
and there might be right, but the fact is we've pressed the big Desperate. Fucking red button because there's a big fucking problem going on and we've got to change something, and that's the difference now. We need someone in the midfield because if you get one or two bodies in the midfield, everything else will probably click back in
or at least get better.
Yeah.
I'm with you. This isn't ideal. This is what we want. I don't want to be sat here going, no, we're desperate. We're no. This is uncharted territory for a few years for us now. But we're kind of in it, so we accept it. We either get it by the sharks, or we just try and find the fucking boat. Yeah. It might not be the cruise liner, but it might be the raft. For you know what I mean? Like we're in a little bit of bother here, and I can't sit here hand on heart for the first time in my life. In my life, that's been dramatic. But in the first time since.
Last year?
No, I'd say since, well, the first year of Klopp, I feel like, I don't think this team can get top four. The first year he took over, I even half believed in it. The second season, I defo did.
You're right, that really was being dramatic for the first time in your life.
Because I remember the Hodgson team, that team was never getting
and
top
four. And did you remember us winning the league?
What do you mean?
You said we couldn't get top four.
It's the first time in my life, this is a team where I don't think could get in the top four in terms of, since the Klopp era. Even, I'll be honest, the only time it hasn't worked, even was Rodgers' year. Even Rodgers' team, I had a belief in that we could. Yeah. I at this moment in time, with where we're at, I think, and given the level of competition, which is a big factor in this, I think we'd be struggling. I really do.
You might be absolutely right. I certainly none of us watches Liverpool and has any sense of confidence that they're just gonna win the game. Doesn't feel like we've got a 2-0 win in us. You know where we just.
It does, but it is only down to Alisson making two or three incredible saves every single week.
And I apologise, quick. The competition's better for fourth now. You could shit your way into fourth place.
I still think you can, to be honest. But because I think Man United are in a good spell at the moment. They'll hit a month where they hit a real sticky patch. They just will, because that's that. They do it. They've had a surprisingly easy sort of ride after the first month. Other teams will have it. It's just whether we're capable of bundling it together, which, based on where we were up until this week, we showed we could.
Newcastle have added an extra team in, so there is mathematically one less place up for grabs, to be honest.
I think they'll fall away as well. But they're
going to be in it till May. They're not dropping that far away. I don't know, man. I think, well, at this moment in time, if you said to me, put your house on where Liverpool are going to finish, and you had to, it'd be fifth, and that's quite sad. And it's that's where we are. That's where we found ourselves.
Yeah. Right now, it'd be stupid to say anything other than that. But my point is that in a week's time, we could probably ask the same question. And we'd all go, fourth feels possible, because if you win two back to back, it does change your perspective on things. We're at the low ebb of the last month or the last 2 months here. We're draining through the dregs of everything wrong with Liverpool at the moment. Whereas if we had this conversation in mid-November, we'd have been like, okay. I remember saying in mid-November, if the season had just carried on, I thought we'd have been in the top four quite comfortably by the time we got to Christmas, because that's the way we felt about it. Nothing's really changed. We've added a footballer since then.
But we've played worse.
Yeah.
In every game. In every single game.
Yeah.
Especially the ones we've won, actually.
And like the teams around us haven't faded away yet. I'm with you. I was thinking Arsenal would drop dramatically. I was thinking Newcastle would go. I thought City would be 5 points, whatever.
Newcastle galvanised now.
Yeah, United haven't really gone away per se. Like we've found ourselves in the mix with it all now, and it's I don't like it, to be honest with you. It's draining, isn't it? It's a horrendous place to be.
Well, this is why we need the fucking
midfielder, you're right.
FA Cup, and we need the Champions League back in a big way, because the chase for fourth is so fucking empty and hollow. It's a nothing. I don't want to be back to that world where there's no silverware, a chance of silverware. Whereas that's the thing, where at least we are.
Well, that's a good job. We've got a replay against Wolves.
Exactly. People shut down on replays. I don't get it. We've got no fucking football matches to play. You know, you lose that, and then you've got.
You don't want the footy matches, because it just makes you feel worse.
Honestly, the toffee lads next door would be the happiest lads in the world if they didn't have to watch Everton play.
Right, Sal's extended podcast this week. If you want more from us chatting about life, the universe, and everything, come and join us on Podcast Extra, which will be up on redmenplus.com. We've got some new shows coming for you in the next few weeks as well, and more details on that will follow in the coming weeks. But we've got a brand new Premier League show coming, which will be coming after this show in February. Stay tuned. If you want to go and join Redmen Plus, you can do. If you watch it on YouTube, you can scan the QR code, or you can just go to redmenplus.com, join up. And right now, the Club Legend monthly prize is a signed Kostas Tsimikas shirt. So if you join as a legend, you get in the draw, and you can have Kostas shirt signed by the man himself. Guys, thank you so much. That was the fucking worst birthday I've ever had in my entire life. And that is no exaggeration for drama. And I bear in mind, 2 years ago I had a lockdown birthday. Great.
Liverpool couldn't hurt you then.
Yeah. Oh, but, well, to be fair, quantify it. 2 years ago was the way we lost six home games back to back. Not too long ago we had Roy Hodgson in charge. So yeah, that's the thing. Anyway, guys, thank you. Pleasure.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Yeah, brilliant. Come and see us over on Extra, you guys. Are
don't get him a Moses Casado for his birthday. He will not be happy.
Just fine, Happy. Go on, get it. It's fine. Get him. It's fine. Fine. Right. See you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.